Bill Belichick, in fact, joining us right now. Are you in Alabama in Mobile?
I am, Michael. I am.
So is this
I'm in Alabama.
I know you'd rather be getting ready for the Super Bowl, but do you enjoy the Senior Bowl atmosphere, everyone in football being together, seeing the young kids getting ready for the draft?
Well, it's certainly a good opportunity to see, you know, in the neighborhood of 90 players, most of whom are going to get drafted at one time, actually playing football, you know, doing things that they would be doing, you know, being coached by NFL staffs. Jacksonville and Atlanta, and doing things that are similar to what we're going to be seeing, and they're actually out there playing football instead of doing drills and individual things and individual drills, things like that. So it's definitely a good perspective, and they're all there together. You know, it's not like scouting a college game where you have a couple players on the team that are our prospects. Here, everybody's really a prospect, and so it's well done, it's good, and there are a lot here at once, so it's definitely efficient.
Hey, Bill, one of your least favorite players ever is here with us today. We should have mentioned that, Christian Fourier. Say hello to Christian.
Hey, Coach. Hey, I'm gonna ask you a question right off the bat because these guys are giving me a lot of flack. They are saying that your ex-players are afraid to interview you and afraid to talk
are.
To you.
They are. It's true.
They say that we don't ask the right questions. And specifically Matt Chatham. I don't know why Chatham comes up. But, Coach, if for any reason, do you sense that the guys are afraid to talk to you about certain things?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you. There you go.
Rodney and Petty and Zolak and guys like that, they pepper me.
Thank you very much, Coach. That's all. I just wanted to clear the air real quickly before we proceeded with
that
this interview.
That was your question. Anyway. I was looking forward to this big question, and that was it. But, Bill, after the Denver loss, you were very critical of yourself, and you talked about some of the mistakes that you made. You said it the next day, too. Specifically, what do you feel some of the mistakes you made that affected the game? What were they?
Well, I mean, just by the results of the game, it didn't go the way we hoped it would go, and so when your team doesn't perform, at a level high enough to really really be competitive, it's hard to feel very good about it, as a head coach. So that's a lot of it's everybody's responsibility, but certainly plenty of it's mine and overall, we just didn't do a good enough job.
Did they do anything
we couldn't make any plays. We couldn't, we never really got control of the game. And, I think about plays like the 4th and 3 that, those 3 points would have been good to have at the end of the game if we would have made the kick, which, we would have had a good chance to. So, I felt like at the time that, we were down by 17 points. We only had 3 points, and we hadn't got down there very much. And I don't think you're going to beat Denver kicking field goals. But, if we would have had a field goal, then given the touchdowns that we ended up getting later on, like those would have been important points for us. So, I don't know that was the right decision. I mean, it wasn't, obviously, when we, lost yardage on 4th down and gave the ball back without any points.
Did Denver do anything that surprised you in the game, or did they just execute what you knew they were trying to do better than you did?
I think it went about the way we thought it would go. We thought we would get pretty much the defenses that they gave us. I mean, they mix it up on you. They do that anyway, but the mix of defenses that we got, I think that wasn't unexpected. And, offensively, we were prepared for the, the 4 open formations with the tight end flexed out and all the receivers on the same side. But, we just couldn't make some key plays, on 3rd down, at the right time when we had, had a few opportunities to get off the field and we gave up a couple, chunk plays that changed field position and we weren't able to make those offensively. So when you put it all together, I mean, you definitely give, you know, I give Denver a lot of credit. They played very well. They didn't turn the ball over. They had 500 yards of total offense. You know, we really couldn't score until the fourth quarter, and then it just, you know, wasn't enough, and we weren't able to make, you know, all the plays that we needed to make to get back in the game, things like the onside kick or, you know, defensive stop to get the ball right back. And so all that, when you add it all up, it just wasn't enough.
Bill, I saw what you said about the Welker play and the league possibly disciplining Welker. What would be appropriate discipline, in your opinion? That's the first part of the question. And the second part is, what made it one of the worst plays you've seen?
Yeah, we're done with that. And again, I congratulate Denver. They, I don't want to take anything away from what they did. They deserve to be playing this week, and I don't have anything else to say about that.
Hey, Coach, so you're shifting gears now. You're down in Mobile, Alabama. You're down with the Senior Bowl. How long does it take you to get acquainted with the guys coming out in the draft, potential draft picks? I mean, have you been looking at any of these guys throughout the season, or do you get a pamphlet filled with names and numbers and information, and then you're going to look at these guys? So how quickly does it take you to get caught up in what's going on in the college world?
Yeah, Christian, that's a great question. I would say the honest answer to that is it takes probably about 3.5 months, January, February, March, and April. And, you know, there are different stages of it. You know, right now it's a lot of names. Certainly being able to see the players for a couple days in person on the field makes it a lot easier to connect the names with the skills of the players rather than just reading about them and watching film is great. But again, when you can get a lot of guys in a shorter amount of time, that helps the process. The combine is another, you know, big process where you have, you know, over 300 players, draft eligible players together. And again, that's still kind of overwhelming. And then as we sift through it, we, you know, focus more on some guys, less on others, and whittle it down a little bit. And so by usually within a month or so of the draft, you're starting to, you know, narrow your focus and know the group pretty well. And then you're working on it all the way up to the end. So I would say that going into the year back in June after the 2013 draft, you kind of have an idea of what players are highly rated. You have an idea of what juniors, if they have good years, might be coming out early, you know, like Lee or, you know, guys like that. And but, you know, some of them do, some of them don't. And then you kind of have to recalibrate at the end of the year once, you know, some of the juniors that you think might have declared, like, you know, the quarterback at UCLA, Huntley, didn't, or guys that maybe you didn't expect to declare did. And those are going to be key guys, too. It's not just another name. Some of those guys are going to be, you know, high picks that affect the overall draft ladder. So I'd say it's, you know, a combination of all those things of, you know, sifting through a lot of names, you know, and then getting the key guys, some of whom you may not know as much about because they're underclassmen or the guys that you've been scouting for a couple of years, but, you know, trying to sort all that out.
You know, just to move back in time a little bit to your draft last year, you drafted two wide receivers in the first four rounds, Dobson and Boyce. What did you, I guess it's a two-part question, but what did you make of the year they had this year, and what are reasonable expectations for them next year as a part of your offense?
Well, I think all three receivers, you know, you have to include KT in
sure.
the conversation, too. I think all three receivers really did a good job of coming in from day one, working hard, learning our offense, and trying to improve in all the areas that they need to improve in to be productive for the New England Patriots. But I think that they've they worked hard all year at that. Some of it was physical, some of it was the learning curve of the offense and adjustments and all that. And, you know, a lot of it was just, you know, going out there and competing against guys that were up jamming them at the line of scrimmage that are good coverage players that, frankly, they didn't see as much of that in college. I mean, no college receivers do. So, you know, that's a big transition for all of them. I think they all came a long way. And I think there's certainly, you know, a lot of opportunity for growth from all three players. So they'll be starting this year at such a much higher level than they were when they came in last year. And hopefully with a good off-season of physical and mental readiness, that they'll be able to, by the time we get through with the spring and training camp practices and preparation, be ready to, you know, to go out and improve on what they did this year. So how much or little that is, I mean, I don't, you know, there are a lot of factors that go into that. But I think that they will all be well ahead of where they were this year.
As you can imagine, we get a lot of questions about Brady. We have a lot of discussions about Brady. He'll be 37 at the start of next year. And there's a notion of Brady's window. How much longer can he play? Do you think of the offense in those terms? Do you feel now that Tom is in his late 30s, pressure is probably not the right word, but is there more urgency to put weapons around Brady at this stage of his career than there was 10 years ago?
Well, I think every year you try to put the best team on the field that you can. You know, now understanding that, you know, there's obviously got to be a balance between putting all your eggs in one basket and, you know, blowing up your salary cap and draft and everything else for, you know, one season. I mean, that's not really what I'm talking about. But within reason, you know, doing all the things that you can do to have the most competitive team that you can have. So that's what we've done. We'll continue to do that. And I'd say we've been, you know, very competitive over the last, whatever it's been, a dozen years, and that would be our expectation this year. So, and at the quarterback position, I mean, I think you know, it's kind of like every other position, but we all know that we're one play away at any position from having to replace that player. And you know, in Mallett's case, you know, Ryan has improved significantly in the 3 years that he's been here. Thought he made another strong jump this year, and if at some point he ends up having to play, whenever that is, then you know I think that he's certainly on the road to being ready to play. So I think that's what you as an organization, you know, you try to provide for your football team is an opportunity to be competitive and you know to have a chance. And that's what we're going to try to do at every position. We can't, there isn't anything we can ignore. We got to do what's best for the team. And that's what we'll try to do. It's not about one position or one guy or one, I mean, they're all important. And we want to have a good offense. We want to have a good defense. We want to have a good kicking game. You know, we want to have a good running game. We want to have a good passing game and run defense and pass defense. So, I mean, all those things are important. And we can't address all of them all the time. We're going to have to try to do the things that we feel like will have the biggest impact or make the biggest difference, understanding what the, you know, cost and of those things are, whether it be draft choices or, you know, contracts or whatever it happens to be. So I'd say that's probably what the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks will be a big part of our discussions and decision-making and evaluations will be what we need to try to do, and then, you know, what are the options that will give us the most impact to address those needs.
Hey, Coach, talk about Pepper Johnson real quick. I know, obviously, he's not on the team anymore. Just talk about how tough it was to have a guy like that go, and is there another guy on the staff that's going to take his spot, or do you think you're going to bring somebody else new in?
Right. Well, I think we can, you know, handle the situation as it is, but that doesn't mean we would necessarily not add somebody. I'm not sure how that'll go. But, yeah, personally, Pepper, you know, has meant a lot to me throughout my career as a player and of course, on the coaching staff here in New England. He's brings obviously a wealth of experience, as well as the kind of unique ability to be a coach in a system that he played in. And for many of us who are coaching on that side of the ball, including myself and the other coaches, you know, we know the system, we've coached it, we have a lot of experience in it, but there's, as you know, there's a difference between playing in a system and coaching a system and not playing in it. And that's something that Pepper has brought to us that's valuable. And again, my relationship and friendship and respect for Pepper are, you know, monumental. I mean, as big of a person as he is in life, that's how big, you know, all the things are in our relationship and, you know, through all the years when he came in as a rookie in 1986 with the Giants. So can't say enough about what he's meant to me personally and to the New England Patriots organization.
The news is out now, Bill, that Dante Scarnecchia, a longtime Patriots coach in a number of capacities, is retiring. Did you know that this was his last season before the season started? How did you find out? And just your take on that news that Dante is no longer going to be a coach with you.
Yeah, you know, Dante and I have we've talked on a regular basis at the end of the year about the future and so forth. And you know, I think that he's been very very honest and just always tried to do the best thing for the organization, and you know, did it in a way where you know, we knew that he was going to retire. He extended his stay with us a little bit longer than what we had first talked about a few years back, and you know, this was a transition that we knew we were going to be making, and we knew we were going to be making it this year, and I feel good about the transition that we've made, and I think that hopefully the offense, as it's talked to our linemen, will be smooth, and that we have a number of people on the staff who have been not coaching the offensive line, but are familiar with all the things that we're doing on the offensive line, so that when you know we put them in this year, that we'll be able to maintain the communication and nomenclature and you know, verbiage and all those things that are, even though they don't sound big, they really are so critical to the efficiency of that group. So I think that the transition, even though it's going to be a big one, has been as smoothly as it probably could possibly have gone.
You know, Bill, getting a chance to talk to you each Monday throughout this year, and granted it was my first year doing this, so, you know, maybe my impressions are a little different, but it seemed like you really liked this team this year, that there was something, was there a quality about this team that especially appealed to you?
There really was, Mike, there really was. They, from day one, in the spring, you know, met every challenge that we gave them. They had a great work ethic. They were physically and mentally tough. We demanded a lot out of them. They responded, and in a positive way, you know, without making excuses or without, you know, really a lot of commentary about what was being demanded. They just tried to do it, and they improved. I think this team showed as much improvement over the course of the season as, I'd say, probably any that I've coached. You know, we went from some things we really struggled with at different points of the year to, you know, becoming, you know, pretty good at them later on in the year. And obviously we had some, you know, adjustments we had to make on the team and various personnel situations. And we had guys that didn't have a lot of experience that stepped up and performed very well because everybody was counting on them. And They found a way to get it done, and we had, you know, many, many examples of that. So, you know, from top to bottom, our veteran players, the leadership that we had from our captains, and we had to restate our captains with, you know, when Vince and Gerard went out for the year, and then Devin and Rob, along with a lot of other veteran players, but, you know, those guys in particular stepped up and did a great job for us. I think our coaching staff responded well to a lot of the challenges that we had as far as, again, personnel and, you know, having to find, this team found a different way to win. We were different, schematically from, you know, what we were a year before when we played in the AFC Championship game. This year we played in that same game with, I think, a lot of different, strengths on our team, and we, you know, evolved into a very competitive team that was a lot different from the 2012 and 2011 team. So, you know, I think that speaks to the job that the assistant coaches and the players did in being able to recognize and adapt and ultimately perform at a high level when we were asked to do and had to do different things. And obviously, you know, I thought this team showed a lot of resiliency by the way they played at the end of games. I mean, we were, you know, had to at the end of games several times attempt to come from behind. Sometimes we did, sometimes we weren't able to, but we put ourselves and gave ourselves a chance to really win each of the games. I'd say other than, I mean, even the Denver game, you know, could have come down to a one-score game with a couple things that had gone a little bit differently with 4 minutes to go. But certainly in the regular season, all those games, we had possession of the ball within scoring range at the end of the game. And then, of course, we won 12 games in the regular season. So, you know, we were competitive every week, and that's, again, a hard thing to do in this league. I mean, it's hard to win in this league, and, you know, it's hard not to go through a 16-game season without, you know, laying an egg somewhere along the line. And our team, you know, fortunately, you know, didn't really – we had some bad quarters and bad halves, but, you know, ultimately we somewhere along the line rallied to, you know, to be competing at the end of the game with a chance to win. And I think that says a lot about the players and the overall makeup of the team. It's a very unselfish team, and a team with a very good work ethic.
You know, you have some decisions to make with some of those players on your team. Julian Edelman, Aqib Talib is another one. And I know you didn't want to get into the Welker comment again, but how about this? Today is Wednesday, and you usually say the injury report comes out on Wednesday. If you had won that game, could Talib have played in the next game? Is he available? Does he have to have surgery after that hit by Welker?
You know, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but I would say, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think so. But that's, you know, I'm not trying to mislead anybody, but I don't think we're, you know, talking about an injury that's, you know, would be of that kind of significance.
We'll get ready now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Again, let me just say, Mike, as you know, and we've been down this road, Christian is, nobody could tell you better than Christian can. You know, when the season's over, I mean, guys are, you know, playing with, you know, various bumps and bruises and ailments and so forth. And you come to the end of the season, and a lot of times, a week or two after the season, those things clear up. And, you know, players feel pretty good after, you know, 2-3 weeks into the, you know, the off season. They get their everything back. Everything feels good. They're ready to go into the off season program. And then sometimes those things continue to be nagging, not preventing the player from participating. I'm not saying that, but preventing him from reaching his full potential and performing at the level that he's used to performing. And then sometimes you go back after 3-4 weeks and take another look at the injury and say, well, you know, it hasn't healed by itself. It hasn't, you know, gone the normal taken the normal recovery that we expected it to or that we wanted to give it a chance to without the surgery, now we may need to go in and do something. And that's part of the off season. That's part of, I would say, probably any professional athlete that's in professional football player that's played, you know, 8, 9, 10 years has had some version of that somewhere in their career. And, again, Christian can speak to that personally, but I know that's the case. So, you know, maybe at this point it doesn't look like a couple players on our team will need something, and they may end up needing it. There may be a couple other guys that we might think, oh, this guy probably is going to need something, but maybe after 2 or 3 weeks it'll clear up, and we'll say, okay, well, that, you know, seemed to resolve on its own, and you know, we won't do anything. So that's very, very common at this time of year, and that's why we just try to stay on top of it and see how it progresses.
Super Bowl now will, of course, be next weekend. Best offense in the league this year statistically against the best defense in the league. And one of the conversations we were having earlier is, you know, Richard Sherman was only targeted twice, according to him, in the last game. If you're Peyton Manning, and does Peyton try to go after him? Does Peyton try to do exactly what, you know, whatever it is that his offense is set up to do? Does he try to stay away from someone like Sherman? How do you see that game playing out?
Well, I haven't seen Seattle play very much at all this year. Our paths haven't crossed much. But my guess would be that, you know, they'll have certain plays that matchups will take them various, you know, I mean, to all their players. They have a lot of good players, so I can't imagine that there would be any players that, you know, at some point won't be a key matchup on the play, and it will just depend on how, you know, what happens when those plays are called, what kind of coverage matchups they get. And I'm sure that if Manning gets the right ones, he'll go to whoever those matchups, you know, wherever they take them. And as the game unfolds, if some matchups are more favorable than others, then I'm sure they'll try to, you know, work on those, and the defense will try to take them away. I mean, I think that's, you know, kind of usually the way it goes. So I wouldn't expect it to be any different. I think probably a lot of the game will depend on how those matchups unfold. And if Denver sees one that's advantageous to them, then I would expect them to take advantage of that, regardless of what it is. So if that's a back, a tight end, any of the receivers, then I think that's, you know, what they'll try to do until Seattle takes it away.
We don't have an official question from a listener today, but I did happen to be glancing at our text machine while we were on here with you, and I did come across this one, and maybe we'll just finish with this. A texter wants to know if you ever got the clock fixed in your car.
Yeah, I did. Yep, we're working now. And, even when we have daylight savings time and go on and off that, yeah, I've actually been able to make that adjustment. So
modern miracles. Coach, thanks so much. Enjoy the off season enjoy Mobile, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great. It's great to be on with you all year, and look forward to catching up again soon.
All right, there you go. There's Bill Belichick.